Well, good morning. This morning we are back in the story of Ruth for one last time. And if you're joining us for the first time this morning or just tuning in for the first time, the book of Ruth is quite the story. And it's quite the story for its rather remarkable portrayal of the ordinary lives of ordinary people in a time that was far different from our own. Many of you have heard the story, but it's worth retelling once more. The story begins with a family, a man and his wife and their two sons. And they leave Bethlehem in Judah for the country of Moab because of a famine in Israel. But instead of relief in this new land, we only hear of loss. The man, Elimelech, died, leaving his wife Naomi with her two sons and their Moabite wives. But Naomi's sons would also die in Moab, and Naomi is left with her two sons, without her two sons and her husband. All she has are her daughters-in-law Orpah and Ruth. And as the story goes, it is the daughter-in-law Ruth who clings to Naomi as they head back to Naomi's home in Bethlehem. Refusing to leave her, Ruth clings to Naomi, promising her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." And in Ruth's words, we see that this remarkable story of ordinary people is not merely about loss, but about love, or hesed. Hesed is this Hebrew word that's often translated steadfast love, and it points to a loyal love, a love that places the welfare of the other ahead of oneself. And this story of Ruth is full of hesed. Ruth loves Naomi. And as the story progresses, we meet a relative of Naomi's husband named Boaz, who will love Ruth. After a series of encounters between Ruth and Boaz, first in Boaz's fields and then at his threshing floor, arrangements are made for Boaz to act as Ruth's kinsman redeemer, her goel in the Hebrew, and to take Ruth as his wife. Now this is quite a story, and it's a story with a context that's remarkably different from our own. The patriarchy is at times over the top. This notion of levirate marriage between a widow and a male relative for the purpose of perpetuating the family seems rather peculiar. And the swapping of sandals to confirm a transaction, a bizarre custom. And yet it is a story whose characters and whose very own stories are remarkably familiar to our own. In Naomi, we hear our own cry of loss and of bitterness. In Ruth, we hear our own voice asking for what we want. And in Boaz, we find ourselves taking seriously the responsibilities that we have before us. Their story is much like our story. For those people are our people, and their God is our God. You see, we might be at the end of the story of Ruth, but this is not the end of the story. For in these closing scenes, we find an invitation to tell our own story and to see that our messy and ordinary lives are a part of God's larger story. And we're also invited to find great freedom and great hope, not in our ability to hesed or to love, but in the hesed of God, our great Redeemer. So let's read these closing verses of Ruth together. You can turn there in your Bibles, or you can read along in your order of worship. This is Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 to 22. So Boaz took Ruth and became his wife, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron, and Hezron fathered Ram, and Ram fathered Amminadab, and Amminadab fathered Nahshon, and Nahshon fathered Salmon, and Salmon fathered Boaz, and Boaz fathered Obed, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. This is God's word given to our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning desperately in need of hearing your word. And not just any word will do. Lord, we need to see your word made flesh. Open our eyes that we might encounter your Son, Jesus, that we might know his love and his grace, and that we might find great freedom to love and to walk and to learn and to be who you have called us and redeemed us to be. Lord God, do this work in us this morning, we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're at all like me, there is a bit of surprise, even a bit of disappointment in these closing verses of Ruth as the narrator reads off the names of men from a genealogy of David after what has been an incredible story of two women. So wait, you mean the whole point of this book is to get us from Judges to King David? And therein lies the temptation. To reduce this remarkable story of ordinary people showing hesed to one another, to reduce that story to a royal genealogy. Well, I would offer that to follow this temptation to make Ruth about David would lead to missing the point of the story. You see, the point of the genealogy is found in the story of these ordinary people serving and loving one another. The genealogy does not make all that precedes it pointless. Rather, placed at the end of the story, the genealogy invites us to see that the larger story of God plays itself out in the ordinary lives of ordinary people in whom God is at work. You cannot separate the larger story of God from the individual stories of God's people, nor the individual stories from the larger story. And the story, God's story, is about people. One of my favorite parts of my day is picking up Lily, our 3-year-old foster daughter, from her school and asking her what she did today. And it's Lily's answer that always makes my day. Well, I did Sophia and Daniel and Locke and Violet and I did Patrick and Miss Jace. And it just goes on. And she just lists every person that she interacted with in the course of that day. I'm always expecting a list of activities, but Lily always gives me people. Her day's work and activity is people. And so it is with the larger story of God, in which God is at work. The story to which the genealogy points is about people. You see, a genealogy is a way of telling the larger story by changing our perspective from the ordinary and the mundane to the providential work and redemptive story of God. But the genealogy does so by giving us a name of a person who has a story, a place, a person who has a problem, the name of a person with longings and hopes, a person with responsibilities and struggles and brokenness, a person like you and me. You see, God's story is a story about David, which is a story about Jesse, which is a story about Obed, which is a story about Ruth and Naomi. And it is to Naomi whom we find the women in Bethlehem singing a song of blessing in our passage this morning. And this is quite the reversal from our first encounter with the women and Naomi upon Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Here Naomi says to the women, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty." But this morning in our passage, we hear a different story from the women, a different song. We hear a song of redemption, a song of restoration. "Blessed be the Lord," the women sing, "who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." At the beginning of her story, Naomi bitterly lamented that God had brought her back empty. Now the women sing of this child who will bring her back life. I think it would be good to pause here for a moment and consider the depth of what is happening. You see, Naomi's problem was not merely that she was without her husband and her two sons, although that certainly was a problem. For Naomi's world, being without a son or without a husband meant Naomi was cut off, disconnected from her people, without someone who would care for her, without someone who could ensure her well-being. So yes, on one level, the women are celebrating God's provision of a child. But they're celebrating a child who would grow up to care for Naomi. This is the women are celebrating that where there once was brokenness, where there was a lack of shalom, there is now restoration. Naomi is cared for, they sing. And the women call this child Obed, which means servant, her goel. Obed is called Naomi's redeemer. And the work of the redeemer is to restore wholeness where there is brokenness. In a broken world where a widow is cut off from her people, this child, Obed, offers restoration. And here we catch a glimpse of this redemptive work when Naomi receives this child and holds him close. In Obed, Naomi receives love, and she learns to love again. I find it fascinating that this story of Ruth is full of hesed. Ruth's pouring out of love to Naomi, but Naomi has not acknowledged such love or even received it. It was without a word that Naomi passively accepted Ruth's covenant vow of faithfulness. But here we see a very different Naomi. She takes the child, lays him in her lap, and cares for him. Naomi loves Obed. And Naomi learns to love again because Ruth loves Naomi. It is of this love that the women sing. "For your daughter-in-law loves you," they sing. "And she is more to you than seven sons." The women celebrate the hesed of Ruth for Naomi. And here we're invited to consider the nature of true hesed, a steadfast love that is selfless. You see, this Hebrew word, hesed, is the equivalent of the agape in the Greek. This is not a mutual love. It is not a love that is given because of what can be received in return. It is a love that is given fully knowing that the one to whom it is given cannot love like that. And this is the love of God for us in Christ, the great Redeemer. But God shows his love, his agape, his hesed for us, and that while we were still sinners, Paul says, Christ died for us. The hesed, the agape, the love of Ruth, the wife of Boaz, the father of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, invites us to consider this larger story of God, story of our God who is the Redeemer to which all acts of Hesed point. It is God, the Lord, who gave Ruth conception, so she bore a son. And it is God in Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, who was born of Mary to restore us to true life and to nourish us in him through the gift of his Spirit. All human acts of doing Hesed flow out of and point to this act of divine Hesed. Ruth loves Naomi, and Boaz loves Ruth, and Naomi loves Obed, and God loves us all. This is our story. And like Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, God is inviting us in Christ to be a community of ordinary people serving him, pointing to him as we go about the business of everyday life, whatever it may be, showing Hesed to one another. But this can be quite a different story from the one we hear, the one that we follow, the one that we listen to. This past week, a friend of mine shared with me a quote by Kurt Vonnegut from one of Vonnegut's books. It struck me as both incredibly profound and yet at the same time horribly paralyzing, which a lot of Kurt Vonnegut's work does. Vonnegut says, "This is my principal objection to life, I think. It's too easy when alive to make perfectly horrible mistakes. This is my principal objection to life, I think. It's too easy when alive to make perfectly horrible mistakes." And I would offer that it is overwhelming to think that every decision we make or series of small decisions might culminate in our destiny. Is this really how our individual stories are to fit into the larger story of God? Is this how providence works? Is this the story that the book of Ruth is inviting us to see? An invitation to fear, to live in fear. An invitation to a story where every decision is a test, every step, either a step on the right path or down the wrong path. Is this the right job? Is this the right person? What if I missed my chance? What happens next? How is it that our individual stories and lives and place fits into God's larger story? Well, I would offer that the story of Ruth and the story that we find throughout Scripture points us to God's larger story in which we are set free. Set free in Christ to be ordinary people seeking together to serve God. Wherever we are as we go about the business of everyday life, showing Hesed to one another and to those in need. And there is great freedom here because we are not the divine lover. We are not the great redeemer. We are not the ones through whom wholeness will be restored from brokenness. The world is not ours to save. We're going to fail. We're not always going to love as God loves. But we are invited in Christ to receive love and to give love, to practice Hesed together. Boaz, he shared the edges of his field. Ruth, she clung to her mother-in-law. And Naomi, she's clung to Obed. And in their stories, we capture a glimpse of the kingdom of God, a glimpse of our God who is love. You see, when we do Hesed, when we show sheltering kindness and loyal love, we bear witness to our God. We bear witness to his kingdom. And this is our story. May we then in Christ be God's people in whom God's Spirit dwells and find true life as a community of ordinary people with ordinary lives practicing Hesed to one another and to those in need. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, it can be overwhelming. In all that we have going around us, think of how it all works together. What's the point? And yet you, throughout Scripture, continue to unveil who you are. You are a God of love, inviting a people to be loved and to love. Lord God, may we be this sort of people. May we receive your love in Christ, and may we show and point to that love in the way that we care for and walk with one another. Lord God, you alone can do this work in us by the power and presence of your Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.